This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
This week's parsha talks about the mitzvah of Shemitah, right? The sabbatical year. Let's just get a few halachos clear, exactly what is Shemitah. And then there's something called Yovel. Especially, you know, this week we spoke about Israel, so we have to speak about some of the mitzvot satzuyos ba'aretz, some of the laws that are dependent on the land. First, there's a mitzvah of Shemitah, which means that in the seventh year, you have to leave the land fallow. What does that mean? You can't plant, you can't harvest, you can't reap, you can't prune, you can't plow, nothing. Can't work the land. The year takes a break, the land goes on a sabbatical. Can't do anything to the land. Besides that, all the slaves go free, all the Jewish slaves, they could go free, even though you bought the slave, you acquired him, nevertheless, all the Eved Ivri goes free after 6 years. Fine. Now there's another aspect of Shemitah that does not only apply in the land of Israel, and that is the aspect of Shemitas Ksafim, right? The letting the land lie fallow only applies in the land of Israel. But there's another aspect of Shemitah called Shemitas Ksafim, which means, Reuven, I lend you $1,000, yeah? So you have to pay me back. But Shemitah comes, it cancels that. That's it. It's over.
So don't pay.
So you know the tricks already. you know all the tricks. But before any tricks, if I lend somebody money, Shemitah cancels the debt. Okay? Now there's a halacha, right? There are different ways around it, right? Very good.
Yeah, you can hand your contracts to Beit Din.
Very good. Very good. You could deliver the loan to Bezdin. You could give a pikadon. Very good.
Then it comes in the Rashi and says, what's the difference? If I keep my contracts and if Bezdin keeps it, it says that if Bezdin keeps it, it says they shouldn't keep a loan for your friend. But Bezdin has no friends. They have friends when you get Bezdin.
Okay, good. Okay. Now there's a law of Yovel. The Yovel year is the 50th year. Again, the same laws of Shemitah, that you can't work the land, applies in the 50th year. Okay? And besides that, if you dealt any real estate, you sold any land, it comes back to you in the 50th year. So let's say you're selling a house, you're selling land, and tomorrow's Yovel, you're not going to get too much money for your house because it's going to be a one-day sale. If Yovel is going to be in 49 years, you could charge more money for it. Okay. Rabbi say, nowadays, there's no more Yovel. Even in the land of Israel, there's no Yovel. Why not? Why is there no Yovel? The halacha is, in order for Yovel to apply, you need the Jewish people to live in the land of Israel. See, it's our fault. We're here in America, enjoying ourselves in America. Because of us, there's no Yovel. How many Jews do you need to live in the land of Israel for Yovel to apply?
600,000.
All the Jews.
600,000. For Yovel?
And not only do you need all the Jews, even if all the Jews live in Israel, Yovel still doesn't apply until the Shvatim are settled in their proper land. In other words, Binyamin is in its share, Yosef's in its share, our Asher is in its share. If the Shvatim are in their correct places, the dinim, the laws of Yovel apply.
So no Yovel laws apply anymore.
No Yovel laws applies.
Until Moshiach comes.
Until the Jews return to Israel.
We're going to see,
the Rambam will tell us that when Mashiach comes, one of the things that he'll do is he'll restore the Shemitah and Yovel system. Fine. So Yovel, does Yovel apply in any shape or form? Nothing. The only thing we do as a commemoration of Yovel is at the end of Yom Kippur, what do? We blow shofar. What's the reason we blow shofar? Rav Haigon says, to commemorate the shofar blowing that was done in the Yovel year. So why do we blow every year? It's a good question. But the reason we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur is to commemorate Yovel. Now, that's the only halacha of Yovel that still applies.
You count the Yovel since Bnei Israel got into Israel, or you count it since the creation of the world?
Good question. We're not going to get into that. Okay. And I don't know the answer. Okay? Fine. So here's the question. No Yovel laws apply. What about Shemitah? Does Shemitah apply nowadays? So you say, why not? Why should Shemitah not apply? Well, Shemitah may be dependent on Yovel. And if Yovel doesn't apply, perhaps Shemitah doesn't apply. We're going to see their different opinions. Okay? Now here's the question. Yes.
The first year of Shemitah, if it falls on the year of Yovel, is it overlaps or that's a separate year?
No. 6 years, Shemitah. 6 years, Shemitah, yeah. 6 years. The seventh Shemitah is followed by the 50th year, which is Yovel. So you have 2 years together.
So it's 2 years together.
So that means you're going to have 2 years with your on vacation for 2 years.
So that means that our Shemitah is not correct because we're skipping the year.
Okay, no. Perhaps. Now he's asking if we don't know a Yovel.
Yeah, you come 1 year, but then 5 more years, then Shemitah again.
But if we don't have Yovel, we don't count it. Mm-hmm.
Now you're asking how do we count? Hey, you're asking how do we count Shemitah if we don't have... You're saying we count Yovel, but we don't keep it.
Yeah.
So the year after Yovel, is that year one of the cycle or year two of the cycle?
Two of the cycle.
Okay. That's also another issue we're not going to discuss. Okay? We're going to discuss the following issue. Tosfos asks... Enjoy. Your following question. Tosfos asks... Okay? Tosfos and Masechta Gittin. This, we're going to have a little bit of a different shir tonight. Okay? You have to really put on your thinking caps tonight. Tosfos asks the following question, okay? Why do we not have any commemoration of Yovel? The same way we commemorate Shemitah, okay? Again, I said, if I lend Reuven $1,000, Shemitah comes, cancels the debt. Now, does it cancel the debt min HaTorah? Nowadays, no. Nowadays, no. Okay, again, well, let's just get something clear one more time. We're going to assume, for clarity purposes, that nowadays the laws of Shemitah are no longer in effect mid the Oraisa biblically. Because since Yovel does not apply, Shemitah does not apply either. So why nowadays does Shemitah cancel a debt? Midrabanan. As a commemoration of the Shemitah of long ago. That's what at least one point in the Gemara tells us, that the reason why nowadays Shemitah cancels debt is to commemorate Shemitah of long ago. And what Tosfos wants to know is, if you're going to commemorate Shemitah, why don't we commemorate Yovel? And we should say that in the 50th year, you cannot work the land. Why don't we say that? The same way we say Midrabanan, Shemitah cancels debts, we should say Midrabanan, you're not allowed to work the land in Yovel, in the 50th year. That's Tosfos' question. You get the question? Why don't we at least commemorate Yovel? How? The Rabbanan should enact that in the 50th year, we don't work the land. That's Tosfos' question. Look what Tosfos said. Look at number one. V'tikun Rabbanon, the rabbis enacted the Teshamit, that Shemitah cancels the debt, Zecha L'Shmias, to commemorate Shemitah. Ask Tosfos, V'ha d'lo tikunami Yovel, why did the Chachamim not enact that on Yovel, Zecha L'Yovel, as a commemoration of Yovel? Why? Why don't we say that in the 50th year, you know how to work the land? At least Midrabanan. You want to hear the answer? Because what's going to happen? How many consecutive years are you going to have of not working the land?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, people can't handle that. You're going to tell people not to work for 2 years? 1 year you could tell people, don't work, have trust in God. 2 years? You know, nobody's going to accept that. And the Chachamim only make takanos if people are able to abide by them. And therefore, since by enacting a Yovel year, a second year that you're not allowed to work, that would be too difficult for people to handle. The Chachamim did not institute that. Mishum de'in rov tzibur yicholen lamaba. The tzibur cannot handle that. Le'eser ba'avodas karka, to be prohibited to work the land, shtei shanim ratzufos, for 2 consecutive years. Okay? So again, Tosfos' question is, at least say midrabanan, you have to let the field remain fallow for the year 50. Tosfos says, no, 2 years in a row we can't do that. One second. What's Tosfos talking about? Tosfos seemed to have forgotten, Chas v'Shalom, about a clear pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, you know, don't work the 7th year. And if you're going to say, what am I going to eat? I didn't plant, I didn't plow, I didn't harvest, I'm going to starve to death. So Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to command a bracha in the 6th year, that the 6th year will be a bumper crop, and it will produce how many years worth? 3 years worth. For year 6, right? You need for the 6th year. You need for the 7th year, because you're not planting and not harvesting. And you need for the 8th year. What are you going to need in the 8th year if you didn't plant in the 7th year?
And to start the 9th year.
No, for 6, 7, and 8. 8 already you could plant and harvest. And what about if there's Yovel? You'll have a real bumper crop. You'll have 4 years worth, right?
Okay,
you want? Right? It's like saying... Don't work on Shabbos, and if you're worried, what do you mean, how am I going to make income on Shabbos? Don't worry, every Friday you go to Citibank, you'll see your bank account doubles for the day. That's what the Chumash says, right? If Hashem says it, you could take it to the bank. So what's Tosa saying? The Chachamim didn't want to institute Yovel. Why? Because people can't handle it. What do you mean people can't handle it? Well, we don't believe in the Torah. The Torah says that in the sixth year or in the year before Shemitah Yovel year, you'll have either triple or quadruple so that you won't have to worry. So what's Tosa say? People can't handle it. Yeah, they will be able to handle it. If what the Torah says will be, if the Torah is true, if the Torah was given on Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it up, and God actually said this and promises to us, then what do you mean people can't handle it? We'll be getting a triple or quadruple in year 48, year 49, year 50, or 51. What's Tosa talking about? I'll ask you another question. If you look at number 10, skip around a little bit. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that talks about Gibore Koach Osei Ritzono, the mighty ones who do the will of God. Who are these people? Who are people who are really mighty? So the Mishnah says, though the ones who perform a certain mitzvah. Which mitzvah? So the Medrash says, not people who keep Shabbos. It's one day a week, you could extend yourself. Not people who come to shul every day. Every day, it's only 7 days a week. People who keep Shemitah. Why? Because it's a whole year to do a mitzvah. You know, to be so consistent, to be able to do a mitzvah day after day after day after day, 365 days a year, that requires tremendous gevura. That requires tremendous strength. Like it says by Mordechai, it says, V'chol yom v'yom, Mordechai mishalech lefnei chazem, and he didn't bow down. Every day he didn't bow down. You know, so in general, we have an attitude in Judaism, we like to make a splash, you know? We're going to like save up all of our spiritual energy for this one thing, make the splash, and then, you know,
like Yom Kippur.
Then sink. Then back to the, you know, back to regular life, and you forget about it. We like to make the splash. No, it's consistency. It's not the splash. We want consistency. You know who are real Giborim? Those who keep Shemitah. Because every day they're thinking, okay, again I'm not going to go to work? How am I going to support my family? One day not to go to work, okay, you could muster up Yitachem for one day, but for 365 days a year, it's superhuman.
Not everybody is a farmer. Basically, if you think about Shemitah, it's only for farmer. If you have no profession.
Yeah, look, it was an agricultural society, but you're right. For the farmers,
you can buy from a goy in Shemitah. You can buy food.
Yeah, but if your job is you're a farmer, you're basically not working for a year. What's that going to do to the bank account?
Now you're going to zero.
It's going down, right? On the one hand, you're making 0.0083% interest, right? So you're making a penny and a half every 6 weeks, right? But on the other hand, you know, every time you're going to the store, forget it, right? So, let me ask you a question. The big Giborim, the mightiest Jews, are the Jews who keep Shemitah? What's so mighty? I thought the Torah promises them that in the sixth year, they're going to get triple. So how are they being mighty? Right? Imagine Hashem said, I'm giving you a very hard mitzvah. Every seventh day, I want you to keep Shabbos. And imagine if every Friday you look at the bank account and it doubles. So it's a big challenge to keep Shabbos. I only need to make, the only reason I work is to make money. If I still make the money without going to work, I'll be happy to stay home. So if Hashem's bracha is really, you could take it to the bank, and it's really true, and every 6 years you can make triple what you need to, then how is the Medrash saying that the true Giborim are the ones who keep Shemitah? Big spiel. What's the big deal that they're keeping Shemitah? They're getting a triple crop in the sixth year. Why is it difficult? It's not difficult to keep Shemitah. If you're getting 3 years' worth in 1 year, it's not hard to keep Shemitah. Okay. So we're going to learn something very interesting from the Sma. The Sma was one of the main commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, the monetary laws of Shulchan Aruch. By the way, the Sma was a Kohen. Anyway, the Sma tells us something like this. He says, he's bothered by our question on Tosfos. Well, again, what was our question on Tosfos? Our question was, Tosfos said that the Chachamim did not want to impose any halacha, that you're not allowed to work during Yovel. Why? Because it would be too difficult for people to bear it. It would be too difficult not to work in the 50th year, followed by the 49th year. So what was our question? What was our question on Tosfos?
What's our
Right? Why is it so hard to keep the halachos, 49 a year, 49 a year, 50, if you're getting bracha in the 48th year for 4 years worth. So listen to what the Sma says. It's three lines from the bottom. Didavka, you see that? Didavka bizman shehaya shmita v'yovel noheg min haTorah haya mikuyam b'hen habracha. This is number 4, excuse me. Only when the mitzvah of shmita and yovel applied min haTorah would you get bracha. Legada b'shana shishas, for it to grow in the sixth year, l'shlosh shanim, for 3 years. But nowadays, at the mitzvah of Shemitah is only midrabanan, who told you there's any bracha? There is no bracha. When do you have a bracha in the sixth year? That's if the Torah commands you that you're not allowed to work in the seventh year. So the Torah says don't work, and the Torah says, yeah, and if you don't work, I'm going to give you a bracha. But nowadays, not working during the Shemitah year, is that min haTorah? He said it's not min haTorah. Since Yovel does not apply midoraisa, why does Yovel not apply? Because the Jewish people are not in the land of Israel. And if Yovel doesn't apply, the laws of Shemitah seemingly would not apply midoraisa. So any reason to keep Shemitah would only be midrabanan, to remember what Shemitah used to be. So just because the rabbis told me to keep Shemitah, they were invested with the power to safeguard the Torah. But the Rehusa, the rabbis, have the power to tell Hashem, yeah, you know, they're going to keep our mitzvah, you know, just make sure they get a double crop in the sixth year. Who says the rabbis have that power? Says the Sma, the bracha of a bumper crop in the sixth year was only when the Torah told you to rest in the seventh year. But nowadays, when the Torah never told you you have to rest in the seventh year, it was Rabbanan. There's no bracha. There's no bracha. So you know what the Medrash is talking about when the Medrash says that the biggest giborim, the mightiest spiritual warriors, are those who keep Shemitah? It's talking about people who keep Shemitah nowadays. Because there's no mitzvah midaraisa to keep Shemitah. It's only midrabanan. And they're not promised any bracha. They require a lot of strength because they're not working and they're not promised any blessing. Okay, so we're going to see. That would be position of the Chazonish. Chazonish is going to say that. But right now the Sma says, Shemitah midrabanan, you get any bracha? No bracha. Yes.
Something you just said just triggered another point.
Yes.
The Shvatim are not in their land. We don't know who the different tribes are.
All right.
The Kohanim didn't even have any land. So it moves it further and further away.
Okay. But at least, you see, nowadays, there is Shemitah midrabanan. The rabbi said to remember the way they used to leave the land fallow in the time when the Jewish people were on the land, so to commemorate that, you should still keep the laws of Shemitah. But it's only midrabanan, midaraisa, so you're right. There's no Yovel. Why? Because the Jewish people are not on the land, and they're not situated by the tribes, and therefore Shemitah seemingly would also not apply midaraisa. And therefore the Sefer Mitzvah, the Sma says that there is no blessing promised to those who keep Shemitah nowadays.
So, you know, you said something that it raised me a question.
Yeah.
So when Yovel canceled in Galut Samchariv?
When did it cancel? When the Jews were exiled to Babel.
The 10 tribes were exiled before that. You need 12 tribes in order to Yovel.
Good point. Exactly when did Yovel cease? The Gemara Megillah says that even though Sanherib exiled the 10 tribes, Yirmiyahu brought them back.
He brought them after the destruction of the temple.
Okay. But then they came back, they went to Babel, and they came back to Israel.
So there is told the Yovel back then?
Or? No, because most of the Jews did not return when
exactly.
They didn't return.
So when you did not
I'm not 100% sure, but it would seem that by the second Beis HaMikdash it ended. You'd have to say when they were exiled, it certainly didn't apply because they weren't even there. Well, what's the difference? But even when they returned, since not everyone returned, it did not go back into effect. That's what it seemed like. Okay. What?
So you should check it. If the condition is 12 tribes, you don't have before the destruction of the first temple.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you saying. I don't know. Okay. With this, we're going to answer another question. Okay? We're going to answer another question. The Gemara in Yevamos says like this, Daf Tes Zayin. Gemara says that there were two occasions on which the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael. What were the two occasions? When they left Mitzrayim, they went into Israel eventually after 40 years, and then they were in Israel. Anybody know how long the Jews were in Israel before they were exiled? 850 years. Yeah, 440 years before they built the first temple, and then the first temple stood 410. Okay, 850. They were exiled to where? Bavel. 70 years, and then they brought back. Who led the Aliyah?
Ezra.
The Ole Mitzrayim and the Ole Bavel. Okay? The Gemara in Yevamos says, when the Jews went back to the land in the time of Ezra, they intentionally and deliberately did not reconquer certain cities. There were certain cities they did not reconquer, and thereby they did not re-sanctify. And they allowed these cities not to reattain the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. There's a concept in the Gemara, Kitcha l'shaita v'loy kitcha l'asad lavo, which means when Yehoshua conquered the land, he sanctified it temporarily. He did not sanctify it for all time. It needed to be re-sanctified by those who came back out of Bavel.
Yeah, one city, Yericho, is not supposed to.
Besides Yericho, the Gemara says they deliberately did not reconquer a number of cities. I don't think the Gemara says which cities it was. The Gemara in Yevamos says they did not reconquer certain cities. Why? If you don't reconquer the city, it does not retain and regain the status of Israel. If it doesn't regain the status of Israel, Chaim, in your backyard, you have to keep the laws of Shemitah?
No.
So the same way in Chaim Cohen's backyard, it doesn't have to keep the laws of Shemitah. In Israel, if it was not reconquered by Ezra, it also you don't have to keep the laws of Shemitah. They did not re-sanctify it. Why did the Jews not re-sanctify the land? Because they were afraid that if they're going to re-sanctify the land, there are a lot of poor people in Israel. What are they going to work in the seventh year? How are they going to make a living? What are they going to eat? You know, during Shemitah, there's no leket, shikha, and peah. There are no presents, gifts you give to Aniyim. Everything is hefker. Everything is ownerless.
Yeah, but if you believe in God, and it says in the Torah, if you give Shemitah, you would have free will. Why do you have to worry about it?
It's
what?
It's a weekend monah.
All right, right. So what do you mean? Good kasha. What do you mean? They were worried about the Aniyim? What do you mean? The Torah says, don't worry, Shemitah's not going to cause you any harm. You're going to have a blessing in the sixth year, you have a bumper crop. So what's the Gemara saying? That when the Jews returned from Bavel, they intentionally did not reconquer certain cities. Why? So that the Aniyim would have a place to work. And they would have food to eat. They would get the lek at the Shekhan Pei. What do you mean? We just said the Torah promised the bumper crop. But according to what we just learned, why isn't that a good question?
Because what?
Not
from Torah, from the
Rabbanah. Because when the Jews returned in the times of Bavel, did Shemitah apply Midoraisa?
No.
Shemitah doesn't apply Midoraisa. You get bracha? No bracha. So that's why they had to be worried about the benefit of the Aniyim. Okay? Good kasha, by the way. Your kasha is asked by the Sefer Nahar Shraga. It's a new Sefer I discovered this week. It's written by Rav Moshe Bitzalel Luria. Moshe Bitzalel Luria, he lived from 1835 to 1916. I don't know too much about him. What? I don't know. I'll tell you one story about the Nahar Shraga. One time, Nahar Shraga, he was giving a drasha in a shul. He was telling the Balabatim to give more tzedakah. And nobody paid attention. Nobody was listening. The next week again, you know, rabbis, you have to give tzedakah, you have to help out the poor. Nobody listened. So he left his shul and he started draying around the marketplace, you know, wasting his time. So he goes, well, you're the Rav, you got to be learning. What are you wasting your time in the marketplace? He said, no. It says in Pirkei Avos, the world stands on three things, right? What are they? Torah, Avodah, right? Torah, Avodah, which is Karbanos, Gemilas Chasadim. We don't have Avoda anymore. We don't have Karbanot. So the Gemara says, what do you do if you have a chair that has three legs and one of the legs is taken away? You could still stick something under, you know, to support it. But now the Rabbo said, you don't want to give tzedakah. We don't have Karbanot. We don't have Gemilas Chasadim. So now the chair only has one leg. You can't support a chair that only has one leg. A chair that only has one leg, what do you do? got to chop off the last leg. So the last leg is Torah. No point in me learning anymore. So I'm draying around the marketplace. So I think they got the message, you know, that they better shape up. Okay. Fine. So what we're learning is that the Sma tells us that the bracha of Shemitah is only promised to those who keep Shemitah midoraisa from the Torah. Those who keep Shemitah midrabana nowadays, they're not promised any bracha. And we brought three proofs. Proof number one is the fact that Tosfos tells us that, you know what, nowadays it would be too difficult to institute Shemitah and Yovel because it would be too hard for people not to work two consecutive years. What do you mean be too hard? You have the bracha. Must be there's no bracha nowadays. We brought a proof from the fact that the Medrash says, who are the mightiest ma'aminim? Those who keep Shemitah. Ma'aminim? You don't need emunah. If you have a triple crop in the sixth year, you don't need any emunah. The answer is nowadays there's no more triple crop. There's no more bracha. And finally, we brought a proof from the fact that those who returned from Bavel, they deliberately left over certain cities because they needed to support the aniyim. Support the aniyim? What about the bumper crop? Must be there's no more bumper crop. Okay. Just for sake of your own knowledge, it is not everybody's opinion that Shemitah nowadays is only midrabanan. The Rambam, at least in one place, seems to imply that Shemitah nowadays is midoraisa. Sorry, you wanted to ask something before?
I was going to ask if you said there was two types of Shemitah.
Yeah.
Then there comes another third type of Shemitah.
Yeah.
The Shemitah that cancels the loans that were set on the mount. This Shemitah and the other Shemitah, do they both count in these times?
They may not be dependent on each other. Shemitah of loan, nowadays, is midrabanan according to everybody.
But would they count?
What do you mean count?
Would they still count?
Right? Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Doing prosbul in Israel.
They do it here also in America.
It's okay.
So it's working.
Yeah, but their opinion, well, that there is Shemitah on loans nowadays? Midrabanan, there's Shemitah of loans. Yeah. Shemitah of land.
I understand something. If the Torah gave us a law.
Shemitah of land may be nowadays even midoraisa.
That's what I'm saying.
You read someplace, it's not working because there's a place that's like people leave and they came back to the city because they're already. They build the city somehow in, like they keep in the city from Polshin, so if, let's say, someone leave the country for 50 years and then he come back, he wants his land back, so they don't let him take it.
But
I don't know.
But I don't understand what you said, that it's the Rabbanan and not the Oraita. If the law originally generated by the Torah, how the Rabbanan can come and say, no, it's now we say that it's
no.
Rabbanan and not the Oraita.
Because the law generated by the Torah...
It's separate. Yovel is separate and Shemitah. It's two different things.
You mean why is Shemitah dependent on Yovel?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't do this part, but if you look at number 6, Rashi brings down the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says like this. There's a pasuk in the Torah, V'zeh devar ha-Shemitah shamot. It uses the Lashon of Shemitah two times. One is to talk about the returning of land in Yovel. One is we're talking about the Shemitah year. And from there we derive the two are dependent on each other. So it's not the Rabbanan who said, nah, the biblical law is not in effect anymore. There's a drasha in the Torah that Shemitah's contingent is dependent on Yovel. Okay? Yeah, you buy that?
Yeah.
That's all right.
I knew that's an answer.
Yeah. That's a Rashi brings down. But look at the Rambam. The Rambam says in number 7, Ein shvius noheges ela be'eretz Yisrael bavad. Shemitah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, ki savayu ela aretz, if you'll come to the land, asher ani nosein lachem, that I give you, bein b'fnei habayis. It applies both when there is a Beis HaMikdash, ubein shaloi b'fnei habayis, and when there's no Beis HaMikdash. The simple reading of the Rambam is, Shemitah applies, yeah, yo Beis HaMikdash, no Beis HaMikdash, doesn't matter. Shemitah always applies. And the implication is it applies midoraisa. Okay. Not like we just said, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's another Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says that, okay, it's kedai to read this, even though not all of it has, it's important to know. You know, some people, I once met a guy, he told me, he doesn't believe in Mashiach. So, what is he? What is he? You know, it hasn't come. I don't what is he? Is he not Bikores? Or, you know, some people say, it doesn't say about Mashiach in the Chumash. Yeah, it does.
It does.
It does. The Rambam says, if you don't believe in Mashiach, you're not just denying the Nevi'im. You're denying Moshe Rabbeinu. You're denying the Torah. That's a fundamental tenet of belief. But look what the Rambam says. He says, HaMelech HaMashiach, the Mashiach, Osid Lamoid, Ulahachser Machas Beis David Liyashna, he's going to restore the Davidic line, HaMemshala HaRishona, to its original dominion, Ubona Mikdash, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, Umekabes Nidche Yisrael, he's going to gather in all the Jews, V'chayzun Kol HaMishpatim B'yamav K'shahayu Mikodem. All the laws will be restored. Look what he says. Makrivim Karbanos, we'll start to bring sacrifices. V'osin Shmitin V'yovlos, we're going to restore the Shemitah and Yovel cycle. Kechol mitzvah san amur b'Torah, like the mitzvah the Torah says. Now look what he says. V'chomi she'eno mamin bo, if you don't believe in Mashiach, omi she'eno mechake l'biyaso, or you're not awaiting his coming, lo b'shar neviyim b'vado kafir, you're not just denying Yirmiyah, Yeshayah, Yecheskel, ela b'tayru v'moish Rabbeinu. You don't have it, you're denying the Torah. And the Rambam goes on to quote Psukim, Hashem says explicitly, v'shav, it's explicit in the Torah, God will, through the agent of Mashiach, will ingather all of the Jewish people. Fine. This Rambam that says Mashiach will restore Shemitah obviously holds that Shemitah nowadays is not Midaraisa, because if it's Midaraisa, you don't need Mr. Mashiach to restore it. It's still in effect. So there's a contradiction in the Rambam, really. The Rambam, Hilcha Shemitah, says Shemitah applies, yeah, Beis HaMikdash, no Beis HaMikdash. And on the other hand, the Rambam says Mashiach is going to restore Shemitah and Yovel. Okay? So that will be your homework to try to explain these two Rambams. Someone is saying when the Rambam says... Yeah. No. What do you want to say?
That's in talking in general what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not specific, says how you're going to do Korbanot.
No, but what do you need Mashiach to restore Shemitah? Shemitah is still in effect.
No, it just says that they're going to restore. Like what? Like Shemitah, like Korbanot, like going back.
But Shemitah, you don't need to restore. Gabi, he doesn't say Mashiach is going to restore Tefillin. We wear Tefillin, right? So Shemitah...
It's two different concepts. One is what you don't have now, so restore.
We have Shemitah. What?
Yeah, I know, but...
So why does he have to say Mashiach is going to restore Shemitah? We have Shemitah. No? No, so you could say the Rambam holds Shemitah as Midrabanan. And when he says Mashiach is going to restore...
You can say that, but it's also you can...
You don't like the question. You don't...
I'm not disputing that it's the Rabbanan or the writer. I'm just saying... this is two different sentences, two different meanings.
We'll talk about it after. Okay, now... So basically, so far we've learned the opinion of the Sma. The Sma says, Shemitah Midoraisa, you get blessing. You keep the rabbi's laws, you get a mitzvah, you get tzchar, maybe you'll have success in other areas, you're not promised the bumper crop. Okay. Comes the Chazon Ish. Now you know the Chazon Ish was very instrumental when the State of Israel was being founded and making sure the laws of the land were being kept in the proper way. That's one of the... Chazon Ish spent time in the fields studying agriculture to try to understand different halachos of the land. Chazon Ish says like this. I don't buy the Sma. I don't accept that. Like you're saying, Ruben, right? If the Rabbanon come and say you should keep Shemitah nowadays, there's a concept, Bezdin and Shamayim follows whatever Bezdin Paskin's down here. Whatever the Chachamim, some people say, no, I don't want to listen to the rabbis. They're not right. They made a mistake. Doesn't matter if they made a mistake. Even if the rabbis made a mistake, they're right. Even if they're wrong, they're right. Because the halacha is not determined by the truth. It's very important. The halacha is not determined by the truth. The Gemara tells us that there was a machlokis in halacha between Rabbah and Hashem. And we paskin like Rabbah. Because Hashem said, Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not given to the heaven. The Torah is not the absolute truth. The Torah is the truth as determined by the Chachmei Hadar. And if they made a mistake, that becomes the truth. That's the way it works. If Chachamim say to keep Shemitah, then in heaven it's Shemitah. If it's Shemitah, you get God's blessing of the bumper crop. Chazon Ish says there's no difference between Drabanan and the Oraisa. Fine. So if there's no difference between the Drabanan and the Oraisa, and you always get the blessing, whether it's the Oraisa or Drabanan, we have a lot of issues we need to explain. We said that the Olei Bavel did not sanctify certain cities. Why? Because they were worried about the Aniyim. They were worried about the poor. What were they worried about the poor? What about the bumper crop? And don't tell me this business with the Drabanan. Who cares if it's Drabanan or Daraisa? We said, who are the mighty warriors? Those who keep Shemitah. So yes, well, big deal. What kind of might is that? They're getting the bumper crop. So the Sma wanted to say, it's only Shemitah Midrabanan. Chazon Ish says, Shemitah Rabanan, Shemitah Daraisa. It's the same thing. So Chazon Ish says like this. Not the most inspiring idea, but it's the truth. And that is, what does the Torah mean when it says you're going to get blessing in the sixth year? Is that an absolute guarantee that anyone who keeps Shemitah is going to get a triple crop in the sixth year? No. Not an absolute guarantee. So what is it? It's like this.
Even if there's a Torah.
Even if there's a Torah. Yeah, good, right. Even when you're keeping Shemitah Midoraisa, what's this blessing? You can't take it to the bank. Why not? Because this is what Hashem is telling you. You work the first year. You work the second year. Let me ask, is it possible that even when you're working the first year and the second year, is it possible that there may be drought? Yeah. Is it possible there may be locust? Yeah. Is it possible you may not be successful? Yeah. But naturally, when you work, it will produce. So a person will say, how could I keep Shemitah? Naturally, if I'm not going to work, I'm not going to make any money, I'm not going to have food. So God is saying, I guarantee you that you're not working and you're letting the field lay fallow will not be the cause of any harm. Does that mean automatically nothing bad will happen in the seventh year? No. Something bad could happen in year one. Something bad could happen in year two, even when you are working. So something bad can happen in year seven. The blessing is not a guarantee. It's just a guarantee that your lack of not doing anything is not going to be the cause of any harm. You hear? That makes sense.
Yeah, but that's...
In other words,
Zot HaBracha, right? Zeh Bracha Ukala.
It's a blessing.
If you follow the ways of Torah, this is your bracha. So the bracha is going to come regardless of, you know... Yeah, to keep the seventh year.
The bracha,
is part of the...
Let me ask you a question. If you stay at home and you don't do anything, money. Let's say a person makes, I don't know, $100,000 a year. I work, I make $100,000 a year. I work a year or two, I make $100,000 a year. Then I take year five off. You're still going to make $100,000 a year? Probably not, because you're not doing any effort, so God's not going to make a miracle. But here God is saying, even though naturally you're not doing anything and really you should not make any money... No, you're not doing anything will not be the cause of you not getting the money. But it doesn't mean you'll have money. The same way you might not have money in year one. Is it possible? Sometimes, you know, people work a whole year, they look at the account, there's nothing there. They didn't have a good year. So the blessing is not your bank account will be full. It's that it won't be lacking because of this. Could be you'll be lacking for other reasons. What?
If you can,
it's likely there'll be a blessing. The same way it's likely when you work, you'll make money. It's also likely if you'll keep Shemitah, you'll have money that year. But you can't rely on it and say, I'm relying on the miracle of God. You have to take, in other words, the Chazon Ish tells us, and the Chazon Ish says, let's say somebody's starving in the seventh year. Let's say, and someone's if he doesn't work the land, he's going to die. Is he allowed to work the land, or should he say, no, God promised blessing? So I would have said, you know, look, the Torah says you're going to get blessing, you're going to get it, you're not allowed to work the land. Chazon Ish says, no, it's not a guaranteed thing, it's likely. It just means your lack of working is not going to be the source of anything bad. But it doesn't mean for sure you'll have money, and therefore Chazon Ish says, if you see that you don't have what to eat, then you have to break the laws of Shemitah like you have to break any mitzvah if your life is in danger. So in other words, this is not an absolute blessing. It's just a blessing that this will not be the source of any harm.
Why not? But it says, you know, the triple cross. Why do I, that's the problem. The Torah saying, that's somebody, the Torah saying that. So why you can say it different way?
But, you know, like...
Nothing's guaranteed.
In other words, another way of saying it is like this. Let's say the Torah says, if you do a certain mitzvah, you'll have money. So now here you...
If you do something good, you get...
Right. In other words, Shema Yigram Achit. A person may have other averos that will not allow the blessing to be chal. Well, the Torah says I'm for sure going to have blessing. No, you...
But when the Torah says that the direct link, whatever you do, you're going to be rewarded. It's not that Judaism. No, Jews don't. You need to, in general, to keep the mitzvot and not to expect that everything's going to be perfect.
Right. Normally we say. Schara b'haya amaleka. Normally we say there's no reward in this world. We're going to need 5 more minutes. Normally we say schara b'haya amaleka. You don't get reward in this.
Not everything.
Ah, there are exceptions. We learn sometimes there are a lot of exceptions. But in general, there's no reward in this world. By the way, it doesn't mean you don't get good things in this world for doing mitzvahs. It just means, you know, the main reward is not in this world. You could get side benefits, you know, insurance, pension, all those stuff. You get good stuff.
It's above your knowledge to understand what is your reward. You live in your life and you don't know what's happening to you. And basically, you need to... You're not supposed to do things in order to be rewarded immediately.
Okay. Let's just, after all has been said and done, we have basically 2 opinions. The opinion of Sma is that when Shemitah only applies Mijabanan, no blessing. No blessing. Midaraisa, yeah, you're guaranteed of it. When you keep Shemitah Rabbanan, no blessing. Chazonish says there's no difference between Daraisa and Rabbanan, but the blessing is not something you could always take to the bank. Fine. Just want to tell you one historical incident. In a observant Moshav, very well-known Moshav, called Moshav Komemios, which was led by Rabbi Binyamin Mendelssohn, who is the Av Bezin of Komemios, and he was very instrumental in making sure that the residents of this Moshav adhere to laws of Shemitah. And obviously, you know, the Sma, which is on the side of Shulchan Aruch, is not the most inspiring thing for a farmer when you're trying to tell him, keep Shemitah, and don't worry, you'll get blessing. When the Sma says, nowadays, Shemitah, you don't get any blessing, right? So, Rav Binyamin Mendelssohn had a way to understand the Sma, where even though Shemitah is only Midrabanan, you still get the blessing. His first point is like this. If you look at number 13, take a look at inside. And that is, first he wants to say like this, that the Sma only said that when Yovel is Midrabanan, you don't get a blessing during Yovel. But Shemitah Midrabanan, the Sma never said that when Shemitah is only Midrabanan, you don't get a blessing. What's the difference between Yovel and Shemitah? There's a very big difference. Yovel is considered a year of great spirituality. It's considered a year of Kedusha. The bracha of Yovel is supposedly it comes from a very high place. So for that bracha, maybe nowadays you don't get that bracha anymore now that Yovel is only Midrabanan. But for Shemitah is the 7th year. Rabbi Mendelssohn wanted to say that the Sma never said that the blessing of Shemitah no longer applies. It was only Yovel he was talking about. When he said that now that it's only Midrabanan, you don't get the blessing, it was only Yovel, not Shemitah. Okay. Then he wanted to say something else. It's not that when Shemitah is only Midrabanan, you don't get any blessing. No. It's that you don't get the blessing of the Torah. But if the Rabbanan say to keep Shemitah, the same way they have the power to institute Shemitah, they have the power to bring bracha also. But you have to have emunah in the Chachamim. The same way when you keep the laws of Shemitah, you have emunah in Hashem, Hashem could bring you the bracha. You have to have a certain trust that the Chachamim are the ones who are entrusted. They're the guardians over the Torah. And by keeping their halachos, you're able to get blessing through following the mitzvot of the Chachamim. Okay. And based on that, Rev. Mendelssohn encouraged the farmers of Moshav Komemios to adhere to the laws of Shemitah. Very interesting, in the year 1957, so the government, the authorities in Israel, were trying to build up the country, trying to beautify the country, and they paid money to develop many Moshavim. And they came to Komemios, And they offer to build up a beautiful orchard in Kamamias. So they said, the people of Kamamias said, look, our rabbi is very strict about Shemitah. You could plant your orchards, but we're not going to be doing anything to them in the seventh year. And, you know, you're going to be investing a lot of money. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the seventh year. So they said, yeah, no way, Jose, get lost. You know, we're not spending money on your moshav. So the matter got delayed for another year until 1958. And eventually they're able to convince the government to plant an orchard in Kamamias. The Shemitah year finally came in 1959, and the government was very upset with Rabbi Mendelsohn. You know, we just invest a lot of money in your moshav, and you know, it's going to go down the drain. You know, if you're not planting, you're not reaping, you're not doing anything to the orchard, there's no way this orchard is going to last. So Rev Mendelsohn himself is a little bit nervous, because here he is, he's sort of, the Sma says there's no more bracha anymore. And even the Chazon Ish says that if Shemitah would be Midaraisa, you can't be guaranteed there's a bracha. And here, Rev Mendelsohn is, he's taking it upon himself to say, well, you know, the Sma was only talking about Yovel. Yeah, but you know, they invested a lot of money in the Moshav, and he, you know, here he is, he's making them being Machmir in this mitzvah, you know, with it very unclear whether the bracha is going to come. In any event, at the end of the year, the government official was in charge of developing the land of Israel. He came to Kamamias and he said, I want you to know, we planted 12 orchards in the land of Israel. And the one that was the most successful, and the one that produced the most fruits, was Moshav Kamamias. So I don't understand, how's that possible? You didn't do anything in the seventh year. So Rav Mendelsohn said, the reason is, the first Ani Mamin we say is we believe that God made, makes, and will make. He controls everything, and we put our trust in Him to fulfill the laws of Shemitah, whether it's Midaraisa, it's only Midrabana. Nevertheless, we trusted in Him. And that is why Moshav Kamamias has been the most successful of all the Moshavim. Very interesting. The government recorded in its official record book that Moshav Kamamias, they did not touch their orchard in the Shemitah year, and it was matzliach, it was successful. So this became the news spread all over Israel, and when the Brisker Rav found out about it, he said, we need to publish in the newspapers, you know, all the chilonim should find out about the miracle of Shemitah. Fine. They're about to do it. News came to America, to Rav Aaron Cutler, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood. He said, no, you can't publicize it. Why? It's an ayin hara. You can't cause people to. He's Ashkenazi, not even Sephardi. So bottom line is, there are two opinions. Again, the Sma says Shemitah Midrabanan, no bracha. Chazon Ish says even Shemitah Midaraisa, you can't take it to the bank. Nevertheless, our tradition, so to speak, is that when farmers are careful in the laws of Shemitah, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of them. And as we see from this incident in the Moshav of Kamamias, Shkayach. What do they have to do to re-sanctify?
Are we sanctifying the land, or are we actually living there?
I think it's specifically talking about not Israel proper, certain areas of Ammon and Moab, which the first time, the fact that we live there, sanctified it, and now there's some type of procedure you need to do. You may need a melech, you may need a navi, there's a procedure. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.